The fight against Bill 96, by the way, it is very clear. It's just beginning, right? We've seen legal challenges. No, English Montreal School Board at the forefront of one legal challenge. We have lawyers, by the way, just at the end of last week, filing a lawsuit against Bill 96 and some of its onerous translation requirements. But community groups as well are banding together in the fight against Bill 96. Just recently, Jewish, Black, South Asian, Filipino community leaders participated in a forum together to discuss Bill 96 and what it is doing to English services for the existing English-speaking population. Let's go now to Marvin Rotran, B'nai B'rith's National Director of its League for Human Rights. Marvin, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Elias. A pleasure to be here.
I'd be remiss just not to start off here. Just say, hey, how is life going? You know, the last time you were on the show, still, I believe, part as a city councilor. Now you've left City Hall behind. Just how's everything going, Marvin?
You know, you might not believe this. After 39 years, I thought there'd be withdrawal symptoms, and I'd really have a tough time. I guess it's because I segued into B'nai B'rith, and I'm doing a lot of human rights work, but similar to many of the motions I moved to council. So I don't feel any sense of loss. I mean, I look at the councillors and I pick up, you know, the news once in a while and say, well, you know, I could have said that. I would have said that differently. But on the whole, I've transitioned well. I'm happy in what I'm doing. And I'm relatively happy with the new councillors who, you know, are taking up the challenge of running our city.
So, Marvin, let's get into this topic at hand here, right? So tell me about the meetup, and I guess this was, I don't know if this was not in person, this was a virtual meetup here. Tell me about what's going on here behind the scenes with leaders from Jewish, Black, South Asian, Filipino communities, just to name a few here, on the fight against Bill 96.
Well, on June 13th, B'nai B'rith held a press conference, and we came out against Bill 96. We had raised certain issues with the government that were specific to the Jewish community, and we ran into a wall. There was no basic response. We raised matters that would have required minor amendments to Bill 96. For example, currently the law allows an exemption when a rabbi or a seminarian comes from out of the country, didn't go to school in English in Canada, not eligible otherwise. There's an exemption given, and the exemption is renewable. The rules have been changed so that exemption can only be for one time, only for a 3-year period. And we're already seeing rabbis saying, no, I don't want to bring my family to Quebec. I'm, you know, committed to 9 years or whatever. And Jewish communities are saying, hey, we're not competitive. We're too small as a community. We can't attract top talent. Much of our recruitment's in the United States. And now we're being told that candidates want to go elsewhere. Well, the government didn't even answer us on that. And we did mention we were concerned that a large part of the Jewish community in Quebec wouldn't be considered Anglophone, mm-hmm. even though they live and function in English, particularly the large contingent of Orthodox Jews who are American. And then we have a large population from the former Soviet Union, where English is their second language. These people risk losing access to services. So when we said that, we got bombarded with calls from all sorts of other communities saying we have the same issues. So what we did is we organized a virtual forum that took place on August the 1st, and much to our surprise, while it was by invitation only, we had 256 people representing dozens of ethnic, racial communities. I mean, the Black community was well represented, particularly the Caribbean community, the Filipino, the Chinese community, and others. And they all said the same thing. Hey, we're not historic Anglos. Mm-hmm. We're not going to qualify. The Anglophone community under Bill 96 is far smaller than what people think it is, according to the rights that people now exercise. We had Julius Gray and Pro Eliaitis, two well-known lawyers, explain the law to everyone, and the conclusion is it's far worse than we even feared. And it's not only that the notwithstanding clause is used in a way it's never been used before to exempt virtually the entire bill to legal challenges, it takes away fundamental rights that we take for granted in a democracy. It, you know, gives language inspectors the power of search and seizure without a warrant. You know, it limits the ability to communicate in English with, you know, government offices, and it restricts the use of English in courts. It puts all sorts of onerous requirements on Anglophones, and in no way promotes French. Now, it's going to be interesting, Elias, to see if election campaigns actually mean something, because with the coming election, we seem to have a disconnect. The polls say the CAC's on the way to winning a big majority, but the polls also show that there's a lot and growing hesitation about Bill 96, not among just Anglophones, but among all Quebecers, that people say, hey, it's gone too far, and the impacts are probably going to be negative, and it doesn't really foster French. So what we did is we invited all the community leaders of the racial and religious minorities who had contacted us. We had them listen to the lawyers. We had them listen to Joe Artona of the English Montreal School Board, because he explained not only what the board was doing with Bill 96, but as well with Bill 40, because there's a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Why haven't we heard anything about the appeal on Bill 40? The whole future of elected English school boards in Quebec hinges on that appeal. The EMSB won its case. The government of Quebec's appealed. And if the appeal goes against the EMSB, that's the end of English language school boards.
And Marvin, listen, I want to get to this because, you know, when we think about Anglophones in Quebec and we think about the future of Anglophones in Quebec, the number one problem I have with Bill 96, there's the general feeling here is that what Bill 96 does, it chokes any possible future growth of the Anglophone community.
Yes.
Right. It basically says, doesn't matter where you come from, even if your first language is English, you can never integrate into an English part of Quebec. There's no more growth allowed. We have historic Anglophones and they can slowly go away, but there can never be growth. That's my big concern. And I just want to know what you're hearing from, you know, let's say Filipinos, from, you know, Black Caribbean Anglo, you know, that English is their first language. What are you hearing from them about their future? And how important is that if there's ever a challenge and it actually gets into the courts and you've got to have demographers talking about the future of Anglos in Quebec, how important is that?
Well, your question is a huge one, and partially it's an existentialist one as well. First of all, I have huge respect for Gemma Raper and the president of the Playmass Caribbean Cultural Association. It puts together people from all the Caribbean islands. And what she said at the call was exactly that. She said, we're an aging community. People from the Caribbean who come to Canada no longer come to Quebec. We're an English-speaking community, and none of us is recognized as Anglophone under Bill 96. We're personally touched by it. But the message to younger people who want to come to Canada from the Caribbean is, go to Ontario. And she said that in the call. And she had immediate resonance from others who spoke in the same way. The South Asian community said the same thing. Hey, you know, we're people from Pakistan, India, Sri Lanka, etc. English is our second language, and we see no possibility of future growth. But the government of Quebec isn't just hostile towards immigration. It's passing laws that basically tell immigrants who speak English as a second language, because it is the second language of their countries, or, you know, in the case of the Philippines, every Filipino speaks a native language, but speaks English as well. The message is, it's not a friendly one. It's one that's basically saying that Quebec doesn't want you to come here. Now, whether Quebec is suddenly going to open to Francophone immigration is another question, because that's not evident as well. And the existential part of this equation is, Quebec's share of the Canadian population is declining year after year after year.
Yeah, and Marvin, listen, I need to wrap, but I want to ask you one question here, and I think it leads right to what you're saying here right now. To me, it feels like there is a body, there is an actor in all of this that can actually influence where this goes, and it's the federal government. Do you feel abandoned by the federal government on this?
As you know, B'nai B'rith is a nonpartisan group. We can criticize policies, but we don't tend to criticize parties by name. Having said that, I think it would be a fair question to ask if any of the federal parties has taken a strong stand on minority rights in Quebec. No one is opposed to preserving, fostering, and enhancing French. But however, that cannot be in the context of suppressing existing rights and existing communities and existing their possibility of being vital in the future. But that's exactly where the gist of Quebec laws is going. Without necessarily giving a public benefit to Quebec, we're seeing communities beginning to think that their future isn't in this province. And I'll finish by saying, all these things came up in our call, and a lot of people started saying, hey, don't forget this began with Bill 21, which no one has ever shown has any benefit for the public good in Quebec, but which basically tells young people who are here and potential immigrants who come from all sorts of religious minorities that Quebec countenances discrimination, that Quebec is willing to do what no other jurisdiction in North America does, tell people who are talented, qualified, and probably the best candidates for certain types of jobs, they're not wanted because of their identity.
Marvin, we got to wrap it up there. We'll disagree on Bill 21 because the last week of Pride in Montreal is the greatest example about how important laws like Bill 21 are for the rights of everyone and not just certain people. But thanks, Marvin, for coming on. I appreciate you joining us on the program, and we'll talk again real
soon. Thank you, Elias. But I was just going to say that for a lot of the people who are on this call, all three of these bills, 21, 40, and 96 go together.
I know. They're all getting thrown into the same bucket. Marvin, thanks so much. Marvin Rotran, of course, is B'nai B'rith's National Director of its League for Human Rights.